you are. You create your environment, and no one can escape from themselves. No one can save you. All this religious business about being saved and all the rest of it, it's something within that innermost mind, but it's a thought creation which temporarily may exist for them. That's why you get some people who go into a sort of environment or groups of people because of their thought forces in regard to their religious strong inclination, and they temporarily, for a short time, although it doesn't exist in the same way as your time does, and then they live together as a community. And you've even got groups of people who really believe they're going to be resurrected, you know, and they're coming back on earth in a physical body. And while they hold on to that vast idea, then they will retain that thought, and they will live in their own community, very happy. I mean, that's another thing. What your happiness consists of is according to your outlook and your thought. Over here, all life is creative. It is in your world of sin. Why do you have wars? Man creates them. People always say, why does God permit this? He lets you get on with it. You see, God's got nothing to do with it. Man creates his own happiness or unhappiness, and it may be the unhappiness that comes into your life is created by people around and about you. And it's not necessarily of your doing. But everyone is an individual, and the reactions that they begin to be sometimes can be destructive. You suffer from yourselves because of your attitudes and your way of thinking. You create all the unhappiness and the misery and that enters into your world, even disease. They think that, you know, I mean, I could go to depth on that. I mean, all the terrible things that happen in your world, in some shape or form, invariably brought about by man. Of course, there are natural things, I mean, like earthquakes and things, which are not man's creation. But then again, that goes on disturbing nature. Look at all the rubbish you're putting up in the heavens, in the sky, and in the ground, and in the sea. Of course, man's going to reap from all that a very unhappy future. I don't understand why people don't see this, that they are themselves the ones who create the havoc and the unhappiness and the miseries. Also, of course, they can create happiness and joy if they go about things the right way. Man makes his own heaven and hell. God ahead.
Yeah.
God a long way ahead.
Oh,
you see, you don't stack. You see, what people don't realize is that there's nothing static. Everything has changed. Everything is movement. No one stays mentally or spiritually, or physically for that matter, when on earth, the same. Life is all change. It has to be. There's no such thing as being static. You see, all life is continuous. You see, your body, for instance, when on earth is changing every second in a way. And if only you could realize that life is movement and excitement and change and thrills. I mean, I wish I could explain it. When I first came here, I could make any tale of it. I thought, well, that's bloody funny, you know. What's that doing down there? And it was me, you see. I didn't realise what had happened because it hit me. And I suddenly thought, well, that's funny. You know, it's ever so odd sometimes to some people when they see themselves for the first time outside the body. And then I realised, of course, people were making a lot of fuss, you know. And then, of course, my mum and dad were rather big, you know, my mum did. She always put on a good show. But you kind of laughing when you look back on it. You know, being dead's a most wonderful, exciting business, you know. From the moment you start, you know, and you realise, you know, and people come and help you and look after you and encourage you. And of course, occasionally you get someone who comes out who really, quite frankly, they're so bewildered. And they sometimes think they're in a dream and they're going to wake up. See, they don't even realise they kicked the bucket. always having a good, don't want me fearing, you know, always having to look forward to. You don't want me worrying about dying. It's a lovely, lovely thing. Of course, the experience of being in hospital and all that and operations and is nasty, and people dread that part of it, obviously. But once you're out of the body, oh boy, you're as light as a feather, and you can go here, go there, you can watch people, see what they're up to. You have a few shocks, of course. people, you thought were such nice people on the surface, you realise they're bloody awful underneath, you know. when I used to go outside the pub with Mum and Dad were moving, you know. And I used to, I used to go from one door to the other. Mom, I called out, they said, what do you want? And I got a bottle of pop and I got one of those bloody arrowroot biscuits and then I'm cartwheel. And when I had that, I went to the other side where my dad was, because they'd had a row, you see. And I got another bottle of pop and I got another arrowroot, see. And hey, it was real marvellous, really, looking back on it. But, you know, I always did well when they had a row. Of course I laugh at it now, and I see them from time to time. But you see, they're not together, because I mean, they made the best of a bad job, I suppose, really. Because they weren't right for each other, and I felt sorry for them, you know, in a way. And thinking that I saw them in their papers, and they make a bum on the beach. And I used to go up the old Bedford, up those hard stairs to the gallery, you know. Used to dive down the front and get the front row, you know. And I saw Mary Lloyd and all them there people, you know. I always had a sort of idea that I'd have got on stage, well, I don't suppose I ever would. But he was kind of laughing, how things have changed. I mean, I can tell you a few bits of... Oh, well, that's not... Hold on.
Go on.
Are you not an interview all day? Well, I don't care whether you are or whether you are not kidding. But you see, anyone who's deeply interested in the things of the spirit, and they lost someone physically, that is, that they worship and love and meant life itself to them, and they think, oh dear, I wish I could really believe, you know, that there is a life after death, and that I will meet my dear so-and-so, you know. And perhaps I'm sitting rather morbid and alone and depressed, then all of a sudden the bloody the fishbowl floats up in the air and the fish are going mad, you see. And that makes them think, ooh, what's that, you know. It must be psychic, you see. It gives them some sort of, gives them some strength, doesn't it? There must be something for that to happen, you know. You see, we do try and do silly things. I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, we do all sorts of odd bits and pieces. We move objects on shelves sometimes, or take flowers out of vases, to give you an idea that we've been there. If it's possible to do anything simple like that, we do it. And a lot depends on circumstances. But you see, everybody's searching. They're not necessarily all searching in the same way. They're all wanting something. Invariably they want conviction. Invariably they want comfort. They want upliftment. They want to know that death is not the end. And that eventually they're going to be with their loved one again. And that to most people is the most important thing of the lot. And it's not until you've lost someone on your side that you really begin to fully appreciate them. That's another strange thing about people, I think. You take each other for granted. You love them just the same, and you appreciate everything they say and do. Sometimes you have a bit of a tiff or a misunderstanding, then you have regrets. But looking back, people must realise that there's so much they might have done that they didn't do. And there's so many things when you first come here, you think, oh dear, I might have said so-and-so, or I might have done so-and-so, why did I do that? And people have regrets. And you see, if only you could realise, it's not the easiest thing to be nice and kind and considerate and helpful and uplifting to people while you've got them and you're making use of them in a way. You can't help laughing in a way. It was human nature, a funny thing altogether. Often the one you love most, you hurt most. You don't always do it intentionally, obviously. And when you come here, you look back. And it's as if your whole life, in a way, goes before you. That's what they say about people who are drowning, that they have this sort of vision, if you like, of what, you know, their life was. Well, I'm not saying things happen like that. But the thing is, here you have a golden opportunity while you're still in your world to do the things of the spirit while yet in the flesh. And indeed, you can become a much warmer, kinder, understanding person than you actually are or have been. You've got a golden opportunity. I mean, if you believe, as we hope you believe, in the things we tell you about and try to help you with, if it doesn't make you a nicer, kinder, warmer person and a more considerate person, then we haven't done our job. But you see, 90% of the people, I shouldn't say this, but it's true, all this is right, really. I mean, a lot of the people who go to the spiritualist churches, I mean, I'm not saying they haven't become convinced of life after death, but they're not really changed in themselves. They're still bitchy. I mean, you go into any spiritualist church, and I've been in a few, believe me, I've been there standing, waving my hands, trying to attract the medium's attention, being completely ignored. And I think, well, I don't know, she says she's clairvoyant, she can't see back rule, didn't I? And I feel fed up. But the point is that you get all this in the church, you know, you get people who have a go at each other in committees and go at it, you know. I know I shouldn't say it, but it's true. We're all in this work together, doing the work of God, doing the work of the Spirit, and we should all be trying desperately to be kinder and warmer and more considerate. It's not the easiest thing. Sometimes somebody irritates or annoys you and you feel all bored, you know. But the point is that you've got to put yourself behind you. You know, a lot of people can't do that, and they want to be the kingpin, or they want to be on the platform, and they're saying to themselves, oh, I can do better than she's doing, they probably could anyway. But the point is that you've got to make allowances. No one's perfect, and we're all striving for something, and we don't quite know what it is we're striving for. In every case, everyone would be uncomfortable in the perfect world. I'm not in a perfect world. I've never met anyone over here who would say they're in a perfect world. We're in different states of being according to our evolution and our development. And we're happy in that environment because that's the environment to which we've achieved over a period of what you call time, although we don't see time as you understand it. Everything is a matter of state of mind. And I don't know, sometimes I come down and I look into your world and I think, oh, I don't know. We do our best, as best we can. We try to help people, we try to comfort them, we try to give them an insight into the things that really matter. And a lot of those people, well, they do the best they can, perhaps I shouldn't say it, but they could do a lot better. You know, it's funny. I could say what I meant not. But you know, you've got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. And it worries me that sometimes you don't appreciate it, or some people don't. And they just take it for granted. I mean, they go along and they get a message and that cheers them up, gives them a bit of comfort for a day or two, and then something goes wrong somewhere, perhaps a bloody roll of blind flat collapses or something, you know, and they get fed up and annoyed. You can't really laugh, you know. You would actually have fun, really, with all this weaknesses, all this stupidity, and all the things that go on. There's a lot that, really, you know, I get a giggle sometimes when I come down here and I see what's going on through people I know, and I visit people from time to time, and they get all worked up and all tense, and sometimes it's so silly. I know they can't help it, probably, but if only they realise that although the things that they're worrying or concerned about are important, because they're still in the material world and they have to be considered, it's not the be-all and the end-all. It's when you come here and you look back and you see yourself as you really were, and all the stupidities and all the things that went on that caused irritation and frustration, and sometimes where that's led you to behave very badly to someone you love. It's all very sad in that respect, but everyone has a sort of, well, I don't know, if only you could see it the way we see it. If each day you try to become a little better, try to do things better than you did the previous day, and with a little more concerned about other people rather than yourself. You see, a lot of people are in love with themselves, and that's a terrible thing. And one should be anxious to better yourself and to improve in the material and the spiritual and psychic sense, yes, But if you're going to be in love with yourself, and a lot of people are, they never admit it, but they perhaps even realise it. But their main concern is, what's in it for me? And what am I going to get out of it? Is it going to be worth my while? And that's not the right attitude to have in life. It's what you can do, what you can achieve, not just for self, but for others. And to give yourself in loving service to others and forget yourself, that's when you begin to grow mentally and spiritually. Here, Andy.
Mickey, isn't the old Bedford you mentioned earlier, was it a music hall?
Oh, yeah, in Camden Town.
Does it still exist?
Don't
know,
does it?
I don't know, I'm asking you. You don't?
I don't think so, sir.
No.
No, it's a good place it was. They used to get all the top liners there. Black, the one-eyed Papa, you will remember him, for your time. Well, I mean, you're only about, what, 60-something, ain't you? You'd have to be older than that to remember some of them. Anyway, I can't have you laughing. They talk about mediumship and mediums. Oh, well, hope we do our best help, but... Oh, I don't know what another... Laughing. Isn't it funny? You can live in the tiniest little cottage and yet have everything. And you can live in a mansion and have nothing. I've found more love, more harmony, more beauty, more comfort with some people who live in a little, tiny, miserable place. It shines from within themselves. And I've been to places where, oh, poor me, cost millions. They're as miserable as I don't know what. And they're not nice people either. Lot to learn, around playing harp, singing hymns. They don't realise we're real people. We have progressed, we have developed, we have opened up our consciousness and become more adult and more spiritually aware. But like me, see, I came here when I was, what, 11-ish, and I'm all grown up over here. When I come back to you lot, I revert mentally, well, I hope I don't, but I revert back to my old self, more or less, as you would see me if you could see
it's
me.
On your mind,
but I've learned a great deal. I may talk common, but I can talk posh too.
We know that,
But I deal with this best of me as I am and how you respect me. You know, people got no idea. They think, oh, well, you get the other side, you've suddenly become holier than now, and you run around with a harp and playing and all the rest of these singing hymns. Who want eternal life singing hymns and playing harps? rather be dead and know nothing. No, it's all crazy. Actually, when you analyse it, all these different religions, different beliefs, you know, and yet fundamentally the same truth is there, because you can't eradicate, as you call it, what is reality. But man has created this sort of religious aspect of things, which has got little or nothing whatever to do with the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's no life after death, what's the point of religion? And then you get those balmy people, you know, who really are narrow-minded, aren't they? And they think everybody is, well, dead or ill, don't they? And they're the only ones that are going to be saved. They're all going to be carried up to the cloud or whatever.
You sound like Mike Farrell.
Who's... Oh, him. Oh, Doris Mothers with him. You know, she was a bit of a case, she was. But anyway, we'll stay together. Oh, you remember old Mike?
Yes.
Well, he did a stint, you know. He was a good fellow. He did a lot of good work, I tell you. And he used to give a lot of help to people and his mum. Because she was a bit autocratic, wasn't she?
Yes.
She was a bit of a pain in the wussy. Although she was all right to her heart, but, you know, she was... She used to make me laugh. I suppose I shouldn't. And I think her son, bless his heart, of course it was his mum, he's fond of her. But he found her a bit complicated and difficult, you know. Because old age is a thing that's purely material, not... You know, when you get rid of the old... chrysalis and the butterfly comes out, you know.
Yeah.
I think you'd be surprised. You see some of these poor old things on your side looking like, I don't know what, you know, being wheeled around, poor old things, you know. aches and pains and moaning and groaning and they're scared stiff of kicking the bucket. They're holding on, you know, onto anybody that they hold on to, clutching them like mad. They won't let themselves be released in some cases. If only they realised how much better off it would be. I mean, I can understand there are some people scared stiff of dying. I think it is all those horror films you have and that gives people the wrong idea.
Yes, sir.
Really, if it wasn't tragic, sometimes it's funny. You see some of these people who really were somebody on your side as the world sees it, and they were full of themselves, how important they were. Indeed, some of them thought the world wouldn't go on without them. Bloody hell, you should see them over here. Cool! They've had to learn to change, I tell you. You know, people can make me laugh. People go to spook meetings, spiritual meetings and all that, you know, and they think it's all going to be very religious, you know, and they sing their hymns and they try to outdo each other by singing higher or lower or whatever, you know, and they think that at the medium, you know, they can't laugh. They think that it should all be on a high spiritual level. No one's saying it shouldn't be, but what they don't realise is that if you want to do the work of the Spirit, then you do that work as best you can under the prevailing circumstances and conditions which are presented by the people who are there. They're the ones who supply the atmosphere, they're the ones who supply the condition, and to some extent supply the power. But you see, you mustn't get this idea that our world consists of people who are very highly mentally and spiritually involved. Of course they are on the higher levels, the higher planes, and you don't have to be necessarily on a very low plane to be normal, as the world understands it, or to act and react and be as you were when on Earth. I mean, as we come down into your environment, so to some extent we take on temporarily your conditions, your aspect of things, and in consequence sometimes, and sometimes it's done for evidential reasons, we revert to the old self. And I've heard people say, ooh, he does not use bad language at times. Well, what's wrong with that? You read the Bible, there's more filth in the Bible than any other book ever written. Mm-hmm. I mean, all right, bleeding, all right, you cut yourself, you bleed. But somebody once said, oh, that boy, you know, he's using bad words like bleeding. What's wrong with that? The kind of one is when you don't bleed. Then you'll be out of rhythm, you'll be a bit wrong. Mm-hmm. He's got out loud.
Sometimes the Trinity Church used to pick you up on that, didn't she?
Well, you see, she
is she all right? Is she all right?
Yeah, but you see, you get some of these people, let's face it, yeah. They're well-meaning, they're kind and all the rest of it, and they think that the spirit world should be very, very holy, and we should all be talking to each other in a very spiritual language, and we should all be every now and again bursting out with song, you know, singing stand up or whatever. I mean, it would be boring.
Boring.
We are all people on different levels, and we all are searching for a greater realization or aspiration, and we enter into different environments according to our evolution or development. And there are some of us near the earth who have to work with you a lot anyway, and we pick up from you and all. People have said to me, oh, well, you talk of certain things, you know, that weren't existing in your day when you were on earth. You used certain words and things, you know. Well, of course not, but I pick them up from you lot. I mean, if you get attached to somebody the whole list, I mean, he just threw the willows at time. But the point is, I get a lot from him, and he takes a lot from me. But that's what good mediumship's all about. That's another thing people don't realise. Because mediumship is being in tune and in touch with the instrument that you use. And obviously, if you're that in close encounter, you'll take from the medium certain things, or the people who sit with the medium, and my vocabulary, good, bad, and indifferent, is on different levels according to the people I have to be with. Whether it's you lot, I mean, if somebody comes and is sitting and swears like a trooper, doesn't mean to say I've got to swear like a trooper, but it registers in the condition and the atmosphere. People have got funny ideas. They think, of course you kick the bucket, that you suddenly become very angelic. Well, how boring we'd all be if we were all that angelic. We wouldn't want to be here. We'd want to be somewhere else. The point is that there are different levels according to one's evolution and consciousness. And yeah, people got funny ideas, you know, they really have, about us. We're real people. We're not sort of conjured up imaginary things, you know.